We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
What's good, everyone? Alex Terrace here with another Knicks episode of the Knicks, Jets, etc. podcast. And with me is always my buddy, my co-host, my pal, the man with the plan, the guy who's ready for New York Knicks basketball, the guy who's ready to see John Wall go to the Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons go to the Houston Rockets, because he's been preaching this all day long. My guy, the one and only John Malika. John, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, dude. Maury's got to go back to the ex-girlfriend, man. Sometimes you got to go back to the ex-girlfriend, and in order to move on, you just got to reconcile. You both have what each other need. Just take it and move on, man. I've been saying it for years, dude. I've been saying it for years at this point.
Jesus, that's just disgusting. I don't need to hear going back to ex-girlfriends. That's nasty. All right.
I mean, Daryl Morey has to do it, dude. That's the only way the NBA can move on and Ben Simmons can move on. He's not going to the West Coast, to the Sacramento Kings. But, dude, you know what this means, right? This means that the NBA is back. Like, if we're talking trades like this, I mean, the Summer League is way in the past. Dude. We're here. I mean, Knicks training camp, dude. We're here.
Yeah, and speaking of we here, we got one of the top Knicks content creators. You know him out there as CP, the franchise, founder, CEO of Knicks Fan TV. My guy, CP, how are you doing today, my man?
Fellas, man, like John said, bro, we're 2 weeks away from training camp. Let's get it going. We got the band back together. I'm ready to go, man. First of all, happy to be on with you guys. Congratulations once again on the deal with Fansided. That's a major, major accomplishment for you guys. And happy for that. And, you know, again, anything you need from me, just let me know. But I'm happy to be here tonight.
We appreciate it, man. Well, some people know you as CP the franchise. Some people know you from the games, and some people just know you as the Max Kellerman Slayer.
Kellerman Slayer, man.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Unbelievable ride, man, for sure.
We're gonna get into that later, but you know, let's dive into these Knicks topics, because we got a full docket today that we got to get into. We want to make sure we cover everything. So let's start off with the news that was reported by Empire Sports Media. Our guy, Alder Almo. Luka Vildoza will be coming back to the New York Knicks this Thursday. We reevaluated from his foot injury. Guys, CP, I'll start with you. What do you think about that, man?
Well, you know, it was reported over the summer that he was leaving Summer League due to the foot injury. It was unfortunate for him because, you know, a lot of us, we wanted to see him play and you know, see him get acclimated with the team and speed of the NBA and so on, because, you know, his Olympic performance was just not good. Shot 31% from the field overall, I think about 7 points, 3 dimes, 17% from three. So it was pretty abysmal performance. Then he came over to Vegas. I had a chance to ask him, you know, what he was bringing to the Knicks. And he said, well, you know, my defense isn't too good. So I was like, all right.
bad answer.
So the poor kid was like a deer in the headlights. So I'm like, oh, man, I done scared this kid now. So you know, didn't play so well in the summer league and went home, unfortunately. So he's going to have a chance to redeem himself in training camp. But I think overall, it'll come down. They have one roster spot left for the 15-man roster. And yes, they did invite Bacon on a non-guaranteed deal. I just think at the end of the day, they invested the money in Vildoza. They paid $750,000 to buy him out of his team, gave him the partially guaranteed deal. I believe it was a four-year, $13.6 million deal, partially guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I think they'll see that through a little bit, you know, and I think he'll make the team. He'll be on the bottom of the depth chart. He'll have to be watching, but I think that'll serve him well. Get used to the speed of the game, practice with some of these dogs on the team, you know, go up against McBride and practice and IQ and Rose and Kemba and get used to playing against these dogs, man. And then we'll see what happens as the years go by and see what type of contributions he can make to the team. But I think he'll end up making it still.
Reading my mind, I was about to ask you that question. So, John, do you think Luka will make the team as well? What are your thoughts on Luka right now?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with CP that the Knicks have a substantial financial investment into him right now, and it wouldn't make sense to cut him and then sign whoever is left in the market just to fill up that roster spot. It really doesn't make too much financial or, I mean, am I allowed to say it? Am I allowed to say that we have a competent, you know, front office? I don't think that a competent front office would, you know, maneuver that way. And so, yeah, I think Vildoza is going to stay. And what I mean, think about it. Think about from the time that we signed him to where we are right now, right? He didn't play any games, but from the time we signed him, people were like, oh yeah, this guy's going to start.
He's
going to be like 25 minutes like, off the bench.
Relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
And then like all of a sudden, like it started moving a little bit, right? And then when it went to Pablo and Alex still wasn't liking that. Alex was like, this guy can't even be Pablo, guys. What's everyone talking about? And now we're here like, all right, hopefully he just makes, you know, the last roster spot. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think he can make the last roster spot.
Facts.
Oh, man, that was quite a wave. As soon as we signed him, everyone's like, this is our starting point guard of the future.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Sheesh. Knicks fans, man, this tells you how thirsty we are for a point guard.
Yeah. Oh, really, dude.
Tells you.
Starving out here, bro. We're starving.
Vildoza Hive got activated immediately and then took a quick fall from grace, man. It was worse than the Frank Hive.
Oh, man, let's not say that word. Oh, man.
Let's chill.
You know, shout out to Moke. He just put out an article for Basketball News, and my God, that thing got a lot of action. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I saw that.
A good article.
Man. Come on, Moke, man. I mean, for him to say that, you know, the whole Frank situation is an indictment on the Knicks player developments, I don't see it, man. If that was the case, he hasn't even garnered any interest from the 29 other teams in the league are not even interested in his player development. But it's the Knicks' fault. It's the Knicks' fault for drafting him. But for the lack of player development, the player has to be good too.
No, that's a fact. Player has to be good. Player has to show up. He did mention, he had that one line where he said, you know, it's also on Frank, but that was very quickly mentioned. So let's not go into that guy's name.
Wait, do you guys think he's going to end up somewhere?
Back in France.
I mean, I forget the team.
You shared it.
That Nico Mannion is playing for now. Nico Mannion has an intestinal infection, so he's going to be out. And it was said that team was interested in Frank, but it wasn't clear whether or not the interest was mutual. I'm sure he's trying to stay, you know, and at the NBA level, I would think playing internationally would be the last resort. But, you know, we'll have to see. I think once you go through training camp, anything is possible. You have injuries, you have guys that don't, you know, meet team standards, and maybe he'll crack a vet minimum salary roster spot somewhere. But right now it's quiet. It's quiet for the French Prince, man. You might have to, you know, it's New York Fashion Week. You might have to, you know.
Oh my God!
You know, you might have to get into modeling next, man. That's my guy. I'm still Frank.
I hope he ends up in San Antonio or Toronto or something. I think it could actually develop there. I don't know. I still got a soft spot. I don't know.
Yeah, we all have a soft spot. Man. Look, we all have a soft spot. We all wish our players could look. I thought Ron Baker was going to be the starting point guard at some point.
Shout out to Ron Baker, retired for the man, world.
I saw him play in Westchester. I saw him play in Westchester, and I was like, wow. And I remember the first game I saw him, he dropped like 13 points, had 10 assists, had 9 boards. I was like, this is the guy. He sold me. He's going to be cooking for the New York Knicks. Nope.
Ron Baker, the shot maker, man. We got the wrong Wichita State players. But those were the old Knicks.
Those were the old Knicks. Now, as John said, we have a competent front office, which gives me goosebumps to even say. And so we saw the development. We saw the turnaround. But I guess to finish off before I even go in that direction, I do agree that I think Luka's going to make the team. I don't think you're going to just put money into him and then let him walk away. I think he will make the team. I don't see Dwayne Bacon, unless Dwayne Bacon just somehow improved his game all over. But moving on to the next topic, with this competent front office, we saw them take a major leap this past season. We saw Julius Randle come in, be our most improved player, make the second All-NBA team. We saw, a standout rookie in Emmanuel Quickley. We saw RJ Barrett improve from 32% from three to 40% from three, and then improve just having a mid-range game as well. So we saw a lot of guys take that next step. So there's just a lot of expectations, I feel, from the fan base, from media, from everyone at this point, that the New York Knicks will either maintain or take another step forward. So there's a few questions I got we should just run through right here and see if I'm going to start off with you first, since you are our guest. Since we have so many expectations, man, like, what do you think? Who do you think takes the biggest leap next season? Do you think it's going to be RJ? Do you think it's going to be Quickley? Do you think we'll get a surprise from Mitch? Who do you got? You can give it me one, two. Give me one of your options.
I think it's going to be RJ, man. I still think it's going to be RJ. Drew Hanlon, once again, he was asked on Twitter what they are working on, and again, it's RJ off the dribble. So he's trying to add that layer to his game, and he took a big leap. He went from 14 to 17 points per game, as you said, 32% from three to 40. 75% from the free throw line. The kid wants to be great, man. The greatness is in him. And I'm not one of those people that gets, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over the highlights. I'll post the highlights to trigger people and trigger all the overreactions. I'll just sit back and laugh. But
sure,
it's cerebral with RJ, man. He wants to be great, and he puts the work in. And I just feel like the improvement that he made from rookie year to sophomore year, I think it's going to continue. Playing with more competent players, adding Fournier and Kemba to that lineup, I think it's going to help in RJ's development in terms of the spacing and just facilitating, that those two guys are going to bring to the offense and opening things up. Quickly, I think he'll take a step, but I still think he needs to work on that intermediate part of his game. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't think it's as fluid yet. Mm-hmm. But with Quickley, I think I will put him second, because I feel like in his second year, it'll slow down for him. He'll get used to what teams are trying to do to him and, work from there. So I think the game will slow down for him, and he'll play a lot better. And with a full slate with Rose, Burks in that lineup, I like that second unit lineup. So I think Quickley will be there. I think Obi will again improve, but the minutes will be so restricted for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're not going to see summer league Obi, because he's not going to be getting 30 minutes a night. He's going to be getting something in the teens, but I still think he'll mature and play a lot better. So those would be my top three. I think Mitch will also, if healthy, take a step up just by playing with competent point guards, whether it's Rose or Kemba starting off the bench, getting him involved in the Gotham lobs and things of that nature, and his impact on the defensive end. I think Mitch will also be there, but if I had to rank it, I'm going RJ, Quickley, OB, Mitch.
Okay. For Quickley though, I know I was on your show and I said 15 mid-range jumpers all throughout last season, which is just insanity.
That's the craziest number.
Only 15 mid-range jumpers throughout an entire season. I don't know how that's even possible. But do you see him, like, we saw him in summer league improve, like he tightened up his handle. We saw some playmaking. Do you think we're going to see a little bit more him, like, be like the combo guard at this point? Like, I know he was more of like an off-ball shooter last season. But do you think we're going to see that with him, with D Rose in the backcourt? Like, well, what do you think?
I still see D Rose dominating the ball. just being that guy, you know what I mean? Just being the veteran that he is. I still think that the second unit is going to run through him, but that won't be a bad thing for Quickly. You know, having Quickly play off ball was a strength of ours last year with Rose facilitating. Then you add Burks, who's also a capable playmaker and facilitator as well. So I think you put Quickly at what he does best, which is shooting the ball, you know, shooting the ball off catch and shoots. Mm-hmm. Now, again, once the defense starts to adjust and starts to run him off that 3-point line, where will he go from there? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I want to see the evolution of Quickly. We did see some playmaking prowess in the summer league. Him and Obi seem to have some good chemistry there. Can that carry over into the season where he's facilitating as, you know, on the secondary break as a secondary ball handler in some pick and roll actions? And then again, how many mid-range jumpers will he improve there? Will he improve in his rim attempts where it's just floater or bust? Can he augment that a little bit and add some versatility inside the 3-point arc? That's left to be seen.
I agree with that. And I think what I want to see out of Emmanuel Quickly too is like his layup package. I know we saw some highlights of him working on his handle and being able to take it to the rack in these open gyms and in these practices. Cause he finished in the 37th percentile amongst guards when it came to finishing around the rim. And only finished 56% of his shots. And that was on, what was it? That was on an abysmal 22 out of 39 attempts around the rim. So we need to see that bump up to the hundreds. So I would like to see that out Quickly. I think that's where it comes for me. Mid-range, if we didn't even see it during summer leagues, I'm not really expecting it. But we'll see. What happens.
That's the thing, dude.
I was going to ask. Yeah, what do you want to say?
That's the thing, man. Like IQ, I have high hopes. You know what I mean? I want him to expand from that Jamal Crawford, you know, role. But from where? Like, where is it going to come from? You know, I mean, we just saw him a month and a half ago. You know, and he was playing ball. So I think it's really optimistic of us to believe that. And you know, you're talking about minutes, CP. You know, let's talk minutes. Alfred Payton is not here anymore. Yeah. He's not here for 8 minutes to just, you know, take the tip off, hang out for a second, and then just leave. Mm-hmm. So Kemba Walker, you know, hopefully he's healthy, knock on wood. He's going to be eating up all those minutes. And then we have D Rose. And to be honest with you, the person who, in my opinion, is going to get phased out the most is IQ. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Obi. I don't think it's going to be Obi that's getting phased out. I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of our issues last year is we had nobody off the bench for Randall. I know that Tibbs doesn't sit Randall. I get that point. But, you know, even if he were to sit him, there was just no offense in, you know, obviously our center is not getting us offense. And then there was no big man to get us offense either with Julius Randall. I'm hoping that Obi can fulfill that Amari Stoudemire role off the bench for those, you know, 20 minutes. Like, I'm not going to go crazy. I'll cap it at 20. But I think that if he can get 20 minutes and maybe like 8 points, 4 rebounds, you know, and a defensive play off the bench, that impact would be quote unquote most improved for the Knicks. Like that impact would change everything. You know what I mean? Like, cause if we have D Rose and IQ just hanging out there and we're not super relying on them to just like, hopefully IQ hits 5 threes, you know what I mean? So we could come back in this third quarter, you know, hopefully D Rose gets that crazy layup package going so we can get in there. Hopefully Obi stabilizes it. But if you want me to like really, really sit here and dream, it's Mitch Robinson, CP. Like you said, it's Mitch Robinson. I need Mitch Robinson to get off his injury hump. I need him to get off his foul hump. I need him to just stay on the court and be Tyson Chandler. Like if you could just please just do that. Mm-hmm. And then we have Noel off the bench. And then, and you know, he's not, we're not going to put so much pressure on him and his joints. Poor guy. I mean, you're at the games, dude. You see him being wrapped up with the medicine ball every single time out.
Every play. You didn't think he was going to make it to the end of the game, man. Every play.
It's crazy. So, like, we need to keep him alive. And we saw how valuable Taj Gibson was, you know, towards the end of the year. So, we need to keep these guys healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to start with Mitch. If we have Mitch there, that's killing it. If we have Obi off the bench, just doing something decent. And if IQ could just stay the same, like that's all I need from those. I don't need IQ to, I know we want him to turn into Rip Hamilton. It's not going to happen, guys. It's not going to happen. He's just going to be Jamal Crawford at least this year. But you know, like the last note on RJ, I just have this crazy, you know, like You know, like when you just have no worries about somebody, like I have no, he's not even on my mind. Like RJ Barrett doesn't even cross my mind. He's not in my debate. Like he's fine. He's really in that Randall zone for me. Like if someone's going to come up to you and start arguing, yo, do you think Randall's good? Like you're just going to be like, dude, he's fine. Like he's like, and for me, RJ is fine. Like I think he's Jimmy Butler, but better. Or as David Zenin says, he's Jimmy Butler with a shimmy. So you know what I mean, like, and I'll take that, yo. I'll take that. So I'm hoping it's Mitch. I'm hoping Obi steps up, and I'm hoping IQ just stays the same. With Kemba Walker there, IQ staying the same is incredibly valuable. It's not desperation mode. That's like cherry on top mode. And if we can get IQ to get 5 threes on the cherry on top in the fourth quarter, we're gonna be blowing teams out, which is, I mean, unreal to say. And it sounds like I'm talking in September because I am. You know, talking about blowing teams out, but that's what it looks like on paper.
So then, John, just to wrap it up, who do you think takes you think Mitch is the one who takes the biggest leap forward this season, or?
Yeah, just by simply being on the court, Mitch gets that. You know what I mean? And I think not only is he going to be on the court, I think he's going to be like an impact player. I think he's going to have a Noel type season from last year, but it's going to be Mitch. Like I really, truly hope that. And I'm putting all my marbles into that because I do think he's going to get the extension before the first game of the season.
Okay. I agree with CP on who takes the biggest leap forward, because like as we had in our like our season awards pod last week, I had RJ Barrett as winning the most improved on this team. I think he just is that type of guy who's just going to come out here. He has that determination to get better, that determination for greatness that CP mentioned. I just don't see how he's going to allow to be anything less at this point, and he has so much more to add to his game. And I only see him putting in the work and the effort, whatever it will take, you know, whatever it takes. It's like the Avengers say, and that's, I feel like what RJ is. So I expect him to come out there and just rock it. I expect IQ to be the one that comes out next and starts to impress. I agree with you on Obi. I think I'm just concerned like where the 20 minutes comes, because Tibbs' general nature is just play the best players. Like, you know, like he was running Taj like 36 minutes out in Chicago. And I just see Randall just getting 30 some odd minutes. You know, if we get 15 minutes from Obi, I think that is being gracious from Thibodeau. I do see Obi taking a step forward. He did show something in summer league. I still think he has to develop a little bit more confidence, but I'm liking what I see from him. But so I'd go RJ, IQ, Obi, Mitch. I just need to see Mitch be Mitch. Just like show that he is taking development, be that guy. As you said, John, last episode, the guy who needs to be most improved is Mitchell Robinson. So
yeah,
it's the
only way the Knicks move forward is if Mitch Robinson is there. Because if we still have this big question mark, especially with this contract, like whether we extend him or not, it's going to be an issue. Like Mitch Robinson is really a huge X factor for the Knicks this year.
Big time.
The biggest X factor.
You think he gets the extension, CP?
You know, we were talking about that on Sunday's show. I don't know if him and his new representation do that. I don't, you know, does the question is, does he gamble knowing the injury history? Does he gamble on a good season with better players and take it into the off season, you know, test the market? Or does he take the team friendly deal? If I were him, I would take the team friendly deal, because again, you just don't know if he can get through 82 games, just the way he's built. I just don't think he is. He's only making $1.6 million this year. I think he should take it. You know, I think he should take it. I would have to figure it would be in a number around, you know, Jared Allen's getting about 20. I think Mitch would get somewhere between say 13 or 15. You know, I think he can hit that number. And if I were him, I would take it, man.
And I think that's the perfect number for him. I think that's what he should be aiming for. Was it? Didn't the Post say it was somewhere around like $44 million that the Knicks were looking to offer him?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was the number. So if I'm Mitch, I'm taking 44, because, you know, well, we already saw where we also discussed the Nerlens Noel contract. So we already saw what happens when you just pass up money like that. So. Mm-hmm. Take the best offer sometimes and just show that you can get better. And I feel like this front office would be the front office to modify a contract, that they wouldn't necessarily walk you. Like, I feel like they'd honor it to a certain degree if you show that you're worth it because you like to maintain the relationships. I feel like that's something that they would do. It wouldn't be the first time a team has modified a contract. We're not talking about Scottie Pippen, Chicago Bulls, where you're just stuck on a small term deal. So I could see the Knicks doing something like that.
Scottie deserved the deal. That's the difference, man.
That's a fact. That's another story.
Facts, bro.
That's another story. But you know, we got another big guy on the team, Julius Randle, as everyone's been mentioning. We already know he's going to be the MVP of this team. We already know he's going to rock all the way through this season. He's probably going to play all 80 some odd games just because that's how he's built. He's built like a tank. But who's going to be
the next Alex? Knock on wood, bro. We need Julius.
But who do you think is going to be the next guy to make the impact on the team? CP, I'll start off with you again.
100% Kemba. Yeah. It's 100% Kemba. Mm-hmm. We now have Rose was that guy, but we now have, even at 75% of who he was, a competent pick and roll point guard. And again, I think that opens up everything. When he was operating out of the high pick and roll, how he can shoot the mid-range jumper, finished his rim attempts were down this year. Again, could you blame it on the knee injury? We'll see what happens next year. But he finished in the 95th percentile in finishing around the rim, like 69%. And when you're used to Peyton bricking at the rim, even Rose not being as efficient at the rim, RJ Julius, that's a breath of fresh air. Yeah. So now you have a guy that you're going to have to respect his drives. And when he collapses at defense, now it opens it up. You got RJ on the wing. You got Fournier on the wing. You have Julius on the wing. You have Gotham lobs to Mitch. I think Kemba's going to be that guy that makes it happen, even if he's, you know, again, 75% Kemba. I think it's still going to give this offense a lift just because of the way he can operate on the pick and roll. You know, the thing is, when you watch these other teams, especially in the playoffs, it's about creating advantages, right? When I looked at the Hawks, the way they create advantages, it's all through Trey, pick and roll, his three-point shot, you know, but then he can go to his wings and they can create for themselves. So there's so many ways that they can beat you. With the Knicks, it was really just like, okay, it's Julius and it's
ISO. Julius. Ball, yeah.
And then it's, you know, catch and shoot for RJ, catch and shoot for Bullock. You know, Rose will come in and create for himself. Burks to
a mellow offense, bro. I call it the mellow offense.
It's mellow offense. So I feel like just having Kemba here being a dynamic pick and roll player, still, I think it's going to give us, again, options to create advantages on this team. If RJ adds that, you know, shooting off the dribble, that adds that. So I think, you know, it gives Julie some help. But overall, it's Kemba, man. This thing has to flow through Kemba. I think he's going to be a big impact in the starting lineup.
You don't think it could be RJ being that next guy, like, who could make the most impact on the team? Or do you think he's just still too young and we still don't know? He's still just an unknown.
Well, Kemba being the point and a ball dominant point, he's going to have the ball in his hands.
Okay.
You know, so it's going to be on him to make things happen. You know, he's not the combo guard. It may not have to flow through him. Obviously, it's still going to go through Julius. Mm-hmm. But Kemba's not just the combo guard that's going to play off ball. He's going to be counted on to make plays and be a playmaker for us. So I think his usage is going to be much higher than RJ's. I think RJ's going to be more so playing off of him. And then also with Kemba is the clutch factor. You know, just it was a couple of years ago. I think his last year with Charlotte, he was second in the league behind Harden in terms of total clutch points. Now, again, he may not be the same guy, but I factor in playing at home, playing at MSG, playing with a chip on the shoulder. I just feel like he'll be another option for us in crunch time as a go-to scorer. And I think he can get it done.
Is that chip on his shoulder coming back from like a down season with injury, or is the chip on the shoulder? Okay.
Yeah, I think coming back from he finished fairly strong, you know, off of that. But I think, you know, there are doubts there. And just coming back to the Garden, man, he's the energy is going to take over, man. I'm telling you, the energy is going to take over, man. He's going to want to be that guy again.
He was already at your team's home opener this past weekend rocking the blue.
Yeah.
Rocking the red hat. He was at the Yankee game. Team,
you know? Yeah, Kemba's in it, man. He's invested, and I just feel like you're gonna have those cardiac Kemba games, man. You know you're gonna have one of those like 40-point games at MSG where he's just going dumb, and I feel like he's gonna have a couple moments in the clutch as well. So I think Kemba's is on on pace to be the second guy that has the most impact next to Randle.
And him doing dummy stuff in MSG is going to make me spend way too much money buying all this Knicks gear. And
Oh, yeah.
1,000%, bro. 1,000%. Dolan is he's
you can't
doing
wait.
Money dance at his crib right now.
And I love Derrick Rose, too. So it's already like Derrick Rose jersey and a Kemba jersey. It's just write it up already. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. John, what about you? What do you think? Who do you think is going to be the second guy on this team?
Well, I think the second guy has to be RJ, but I'm all aboard the Kemba train, man. I CP is waxing poetic about somebody dropping 40 points, and not only that, a point guard, like a legit point guard dropping 40 points on the Knicks, like sign me up. Like I have no qualms about that. And you know, the most important part of that, you know, say he drops the 40 points is like the next game, right? Where they're scouting. And like CP said, he's going to demand that respect, even if he's 70%. And he's going to kick it out to RJ, who is leading the league from corner three. He's going to, you know, dish it out to Fournier, who can, you know, get a shot. He's going to dish it out to our guys who, I mean, like somebody like Kevin Knox, right? Like, I know he's not popular, but if Kevin Knox is out on the corner and he's open, he's going to hit a shot. If you give the ball to Kevin Knox and somebody's guarding him, he's going to just look like, you know, I look at CYO and I get the ball. You know what I mean? And that's okay, right? This is not his game. Like he needs to be open off, you know, a collapse and a kick out, or someone needs to screen for him, and just is what it is. And I think that Kemba opens up that game. You know, you ever watch League Pass after a Knicks game, right? Like a West Coast game that usually ends up being the Warriors or something. So I know it's not really fair. But you're just like watching them. You're like, oh my goodness! Like, how is this even the same game? Like, you know, how is this the same? Like, how is this both NBA basketball? You know what I mean? Like, what I just watched and what this is. And so I'm hoping like a point guard like Kemba Walker does put us on the map, does demand respect, and then that just changes our whole offense. We're never gonna play ISO, you know, Randle anymore. We are gonna play ISO Randle, just not the majority of the time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with both of your sentiments on Kemp. I definitely think it has to be him. I would like to see RJ take a big enough leap where, you know, we don't have to be reliant on Kemp, just because I'm worried about his injuries and coming back from that, especially the knee injury and having the stem cell surgery done for it.
Bartolo Colon's all about that stem cell and that elbow.
Oh my God.
I think Kobe had the knee stem cell as well. So. Hopefully,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did. He went to Germany for that procedure.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. The whole, okay. That's right. Having a doctor over Germany. I remember the whole Germany controversy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I agree with you guys about Kemba being that guy. I would like to see RJ like help facilitate as that as well. Take some of the pressure off Kemba and Julius as well. Just being, I guess, the third option, because RJ was the second option last year by de facto, because looking at our starting lineup, he had to be. Hopefully he takes a big enough step to help and alleviate Kemba, because when I look at like both of our point guards, both who are injury prone, both who are getting to really close to the end of their careers, mm-hmm. I'm just worried about Kemba being that guy to just rely on. I know you mentioned 75% CP, and I agree with that. 75% Kemba, that's a hell of a deal for $8 million, and mm-hmm. that's still a guy you have to respect. Look, they have to respect D Rose, and I think D Rose is maybe closer to like half of what he used to be, because he's not that explosive like mini LeBron James guy.
Careful, don't trigger the Rose hive, man. Watch your words on Rose. They're gonna come for you in the comments on Twitter. Trust me, man.
It's okay.
I haven't offended him off since the trade, bro. Trust. Even when you pay him compliments, they find the smallest thing and like.
Oh my goodness.
You don't know D Rose, man. You know, the Rose Hive, not to cut you off and go on a tangent, the Rose Hive, they'll sit there and watch, you know, his MVP highlights and then come back and tell you how wrong you are about him, you know, in this present day. That's how they roll, man.
That's classic. Oh, man. CP's been through the ringer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. You can see it. The man's tired of all the Rose Hive just attacking him left and right. I'm tired of it, man. With the Frank Hive, with the Vildoza Hive.
It's tough. I totally feel it, because he likes these guys, right? And anything he says now about them, people start freaking out. Now he has to defend them. But now his point is all, you know, is all gone, because now he's like, he ends up not defending. He's like, yo, I just said we need a starting point guard. He's fine. Like, I get you, man. I get you. We all go through it. We all go through it, dude.
It's all good. It's all good. We all know it's all for the love and fun of the game, right? And I'm a D Rose fan too. I got the shorts. I always bought his sneakers, so I'm a big D Rose fan too. He used to hoop in those things 4 times a week all the time. So please don't attack me. It's a friendly plea. But no, I agree. So like getting back to what I was saying, like with both those guards, just like injury prone, that's why I hope for RJ. But I agree with both of you guys that I think it's going to be Kemba. All right. So with all that said, since we have an idea of like who we want to take that big leap, who we think is going to be that second option to help this team move forward, what do we expect the record to be? You know, what do you guys got? John, I'll start with you this time. What are you thinking?
I mean, I gave Jolito the 50 burger, which I know is being super facetious, but we were getting hyped. We were getting hyped on that pod. So I'm gonna give him that 50. I'm never gonna shy away with it. He told me.
he's holding you to it. He said.
I know. So I'm sticking with the 50, bro. I don't want the smoke. Yeah. I'm keeping 50, bro. I got you. Just give me the 50. I'd rather be wrong on that.
CP, just so you know, Jolito came on here and gave us the 53. 53 wins.
Jolito talking spicy, man.
Yeah, I'm thinking I play the Price is Right. 50 burger.
Yeah, man. What do you got, CP?
We're getting hyped on the pod, man. We're getting hyped.
53-9? I mean, to go 53-20, a lot has to break right for us. That includes health for Rose, Kemba, and Mitch. Three important pieces. RJ and Julius have shown the ability to stay durable. So it's really Rose, Kemba, Mitch. They stay healthy. I mean, I think it's still a stretch. And you know, just real quick on the RJ thing, I think for him to truly be that second impact guy, I think we really have to count on him affecting those moves in the mid-range, whether it's off the dribble or finishing better at the rim. And because it just hasn't been there last year, I think it's hard for me to really see him. Yes, he'll improve. I think he'll improve in those areas, but I don't think he'll get to that point where it's just like, all right, he's going to be our next go-to guy. You know what I'm saying? He'll still have to be a role player of some sorts, but a good one. I'm going to go 46-36. I think that's what I said on the show, and I'm going to stick with it, man.
I like that.
I'll go 46-36.
Okay.
What seed does that get you? What seed does that get you?
I think so. ESPN has us in the sixth seed at 44-38.
Okay.
But I think there was only like one game separating us in Boston, who was in fifth. Actually,
ahead of us.
Let me just double check that and make sure that's accurate. ESPN had us in, and Al, you can edit this, right? Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Hang on.
Alex, what do you got for your
I got 48 and 34. That's what I got for the Knicks. I feel like
48 and 34.
Yeah, 48 and 34, okay. Is what I'm going. We're close to 50, but just not there. Yeah. I feel like we're gonna get some interesting wins that were just like they're gonna be head scratching wins for us. I'm gonna take them, but I'm just like, all right, we did it. Let's keep moving.
I think 46 and 36 can get a sixth. I think it could get a sixth. ESPN has us in the seventh slot behind the Celtics by a game.
Ew.
What? Yeah, get out of here. Get out.
Stop
of here.
That. Marcus Smart is a point guard? Yeah. I'm not buying that.
GM
Brad Stevens, I am shorting that stock.
President of basketball operations, Brad Stevens. I don't buy any of that whatsoever. Sell it as fast as possible. That team.
Wow. And can I break some news here?
Let's hear it.
According to Mark Stein, we were just talking about this. The Dallas Mavericks are expected to sign Frank Ntilikina.
Oh, wow. Let's go.
Frank Ibe is back.
There it is.
The Frank Ibe is back. Let's go.
Take my words.
The NBA, bro.
You got to say the NBA. Take my France, playing back in France words and
Five and KP reunited.
The international squad, dude. They're the international squad down there in Dallas.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting developments here, fellas.
I think it's a great move.
Yeah. It's a good move for Frank. I mean, good for Frank. I don't know.
Brunson on the hot seat? I'm kidding.
I don't see a spot for him in the rotation, but hey, good for him. you know?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where he plays, but good for Frank for staying in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Now the Frank haters will be angry because they thought he was going back overseas.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, exactly. Again, back
that
to,
Dallas game got even more spicy, man. That yeah. Dallas oh, game got even is. More spicy.
Got even more spicy, man.
We got we got Timmy down there. We got KP down there. We got Frank down there.
The rivalry is hot. It's gonna
Knicks West.
Yeah. Knicks West.
It's gonna Bullock, be some animosity. Bullock
out there. Bullock. Oh, that's true. That's right. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Dude,
forgot about that.
It's gonna be a fun. Wow, right. It's gonna be a fun game in the Garden.
Wow.
CP, I'll see you at the Garden versus
I'll see you at the Garden.
I'm coming down for that one. I'll see you all at the Garden. I'm coming down for that
Let's
one.
Go, man. Interesting. Okay. Well, good for him. Good for him on a personal level, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. Now he can take the R&B album covers down to Dallas. You know, it's nice warm out there. You can wear the shorts, do whatever, have it on button. There you go.
That's
Frank,
it.
Good for Frank Ntilikina.
So Al, you were saying 48-34. So that what do you think? That's like fifth seed?
I think we're fifth seed, the least sixth seed. That's where I'm going. That's what
I'm putting. I'm putting the bar at the sixth seed.
I don't see, like, I know the East got better. And that's what I'm counting for. Like, I think we could, if the East didn't make the amount of moves that it did, I could see us getting back to the fourth. But because Miami got Kyle Lowry and added those guys down there, I see them being better too, especially with better point guard play. And you got to have it. Yeah.
I'm not wow. Some Depot slander.
Depot hasn't been healthy for like 2 years. I'll believe when I see it.
All
right. We got to respect
old
the
takes
Bucks.
Exposed.
Tag me right now. Tag it right now when this thing comes out. You can clip it, put it out there. I don't care. Thank you. Yeah. You got to respect the Bucks. We got to respect the, not even rivals, just the team over the bridge. You got to respect Miami. You got to respect who else we got. We got in there.
Hawks.
Hawks.
I got to put Hawks. The Hawks there up there. Full Hawks. Season with McMillan. All things considered, health. I got to put the Hawks up there as a top four.
Yeah. You care about four. Philly? I really don't care about Philly. I don't know. Even if it's John Wall there, like John Wall and Embiid, yeah. It's nice. It's fun. Tobias Harris. Like they're gonna win games, but like, am I scared of them?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you really putting the John Wall thing in the air?
He's been preaching to CP. This has been happening for a minute.
I've been saying this for months. Like, there's no they want first round picks, they want second round picks, and they need a contract. The only team that has that, I mean, there is Sacramento, but they're not going to trade their guys. That's already stale. And, you know, they could do it in Golden State, but that's stale as well. It has to be Houston. It just has to be. The only gripe is that they're upset with each other. They're just going to have to man up and make a deal, you know, for business. Like, I don't know. I think Houston's going to be nice, dude. I think Houston, Ben Simmons, Houston would be nice. I really think they'd be nice.
I think he'd be good for them.
Yeah.
I think he'd be good for them for sure.
But I'm not scared of Philly regardless. I'm just not scared of them. I don't know. I don't know what it is about them. You talk about not being healthy. Like, even if Embiid is healthy, he's going to at least one of those games, he's going to, you know, dribble off his foot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Factor in some Embiid injury time.
I just don't. Yeah. I don't know.
I think Philly, you know, they may be fourth or fifth, honestly.
I put them under the Hawks, at least.
I put them under the Hawks.
Okay, so let's put them five, you know, just out of respect, and we'll put us six. But I'm really happy. Yeah. We can't put Philly six and us five. I feel like that's
a little
disrespectful. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm putting Nets, Bucks, Hawks. Got to respect Miami. I think their defense is going to be ferocious once again on this Spoelstra with the addition of PJ Tucker, Lowry. I think they're going to be filthy again, especially defensively. Health is another thing with them, but I'll put Philly after them, and then I'll put us.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Yeah, but I don't see Boston whatsoever. You can't sell me on Marcus Smart. No. You can't
sell me. Yeah, that's tough.
They're trying to – you can't sell me on that. No, you can't sell –
I'm not going
to. We just saw what happened when we have a point guard that is not an effective shooter. So I just am not going to buy that. No. And I don't see Peyton Pritchard just coming out here being all whimsical on the court either.
No.
So then I would leave that with, like, the Celtics, Wizards, Pacers, Bulls. Yeah, those teams are the teams that make up the play-in.
Watch out for the Pacers. Watch out for the Pacers.
I did say that too, man.
Really love the Pacers, dude. They have Rick Carlisle now running the show. Like, everything you think about Dallas, that's Indiana now. You know what I mean? Like, because he's been there forever. So he is Dallas. So I'm actually curious about what even is going to transpire over there with Frank and everything, whatever. But I digress. Sticking with Indiana, my most improved player of the actual NBA is Caris LeVert. I think he's going to come off that cancer scare that, you know, was miraculously found through a trade, you know, and, like, amazing story. He's going to come back. He's going to kill it. Him and Sabonis, even if Miles Turner hangs out there. I mean, they have a legitimate squad out there. And to be honest, I am more worried about them than Philly 8 out of 10 times. You know what I mean? And I think that they're going to kill the Bulls. I think they're way better than I know the Bulls are fun and sexy. Indiana's way better than them. And honestly, like, gun to my head, Indiana has a better squad than the Knicks. Like, gun to my head. Like, if I'm just looking at it, like, you have, like, dominant players. You know what I mean? And they just mix together. Like, I know one by one, I'll take the Knicks. All right. Like, Randall versus Sabonis, I'll take Randall. You know what I mean? I'm not really Miles Turner or Mitch. I kind of want Mitch. Like, one by one, but just, like, the cohesion of them. Like, they're going to be a squad, dude. Like, I'm slightly nervous about playing the Pacers, to be honest.
I think, again, Sabonis, beast mode. You got to respect Turner. Brogdon at full strength with LeVert. I like that. TJ Warren. I like the Duarte. I think Duarte is going to come in
and pay dividends
for them right away. You know, you got McConnell off the bench. I still like our bench better. Pacers are going to be tough, though. And like you said, with Carlisle, I think you got to respect them. And I've been saying the Pacers could be up there in that top seven this year with Carlisle and a healthy roster for sure. You know,
it's a competent coach team. And a healthy roster. It's my league pass team of the year, actually.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a good league pass team. I
mean, that is a good league pass team for sure.
They're fun. They're going to be a true, like, all-oriented team basketball team, which will be in the same sphere as the Knicks, but I'm going to have to go with the Knicks just because, you know, I like TJ Warren. I think TJ Warren is going to be a good player. I like Caris LeVert. We still haven't seen Caris LeVert play a full season with any team that he's been on yet. So you have to factor in his injury proneness. You know, DeMontis Sabonis is probably the most consistent guy you're going to get on that team. And then Miles Turner.
They give me 04 Pistons vibes.
Ooh, what?
Wow. They just give me the vibes. Like, they're obviously not that great. Like, they don't have Chauncey Billups. They don't have Rip Hamilton, but they just give me those vibes. Like, there's nobody that's special, but they're cohesive. They have a legitimate coach.
You think they can defend that way? Sabonis ain't defending nobody.
I mean, like, it took them a little bit of time to develop, right? The Pistons, they didn't just show up in 04 and become, you know, that team. It took them, what, like 2-3 years? Mm-hmm. I really do think they're on that path. I don't know. Like, something about this Pacers team, like, scares me. And something about the Bulls is completely laughable to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, that juxtaposition, like, I don't know. In my brain, like, everyone's scared of the Bulls. I'm like, who's going to play defense?
Bulls have no bench. They have zero bench.
No bench and no defense besides Patrick Williams. Like, it's literally one player. So, I don't know. I'm excited for Knicks Pacers games. And it's just funny, dude. We're Knicks Pacers, Knicks Heat. You know what I mean? Just the old school Knicks rivalries are so back, and we're actually good.
Yeah.
We're actually good, guys. Like, the Garden was rocking last time we were there. So I'm just really excited about, you know, the Eastern Conference powerhouse. We're no longer the joke. Remember? Oh, Eastern Conference. Ha ha, LeBron, Eastern Conference. And now the Western Conference is a joke. It's just a little bit top heavy. And that's it. And now look at the East.
True, man. He's just stepping it up.
I'm just shocked that you said Pacers on the trajectory of an 0-4 Pistons.
I'm not saying they are the 0-4. They just, like, that is, that's like, if you ask them what their game plan is, like, that's what they have on their board. Like, literally, like, they just, like, they have the layer, they have the coach, they have the players that, like, fit that role. Like, nobody's a superstar. They just kind of play in the middle of the, like, in the middle of the court, kind of like the two man. I don't know. Just, I watch a lot of League Pass, you know, as you know, I watch a lot of NBA, and Rick Carlisle on the Pacers, dude. And dude, LeVert, when he was, oh man, I don't know. LeVert,
I like their balance, but I don't think they'll be
their defense
nearly as well.
Really? You don't think they'll be
Rodman? Yes. Sabonis is, he's weak. He's weak.
Miles Turner can play D.
But I mean, Miles Turner can back him up for sure. But Sabonis ain't guarding nobody.
Yeah, LeVert can play D.
LeVert.
That's what I'm saying. And then we got the Warren.
How's Warren's defense? Warren's, you got Tayshaun Prince on that team, man.
I know. Tayshaun was that guy.
Yeah. Did the whole starting five defend?
They won the championship.
They got Torrey Craig now, so everything's solved.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think the Pacers are good.
All right. Well, before we get into more general NBA topic, I want to dive off the beaten path role, because CP, I got to ask you, man, you made a lot of headway going into the season with the Knicks being good. You're putting out phenomenal content. We see you then just take that next step, get on ESPN and battle it, take it every single Tuesday with Max Kellerman. How was that, man? I want to get a little bit of inside knowledge on that, man. How'd you like it?
Yeah, it was incredible, just because, like, that was never even my goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, my goal was, I was always just focused on Knicks Fan TV, just making fire content, vibing with the fans, you know, having a good post-game show. I was very well prepared for a 26-win season, you know, and a lot of losses, and keeping the fans pushing through that. And so, you know, everything was just a roller coaster, man, just riding the wave of the team's success. And everything kind of just, you know, fell into my lap. Like, it started with the whole Rappaport thing. You know, remember me and Rappaport started going back and forth on Twitter. And that was a lot of fun. And then I kind of just spoke it into existence, man. I think there was one show when I was talking about the Rappaport thing, I was like, yeah, Kellerman is next.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, you know, I get invited on the show. And at first, I thought it was just going to be like that one time, like us going back and forth on Knicks. And then after that one, they invited me back for a second one. And then we're going back and forth on Knicks, back and forth on Knicks. And then I think after that one, he mentioned it on the show to his producer. He's like, what do you think? Let's bring this guy back, you know, every Tuesday or something like that. So I'm like, oh, shit.
I remember that. He mentioned that live on the air.
He mentioned it live. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
Wild. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, right on. No doubt. So, and then as the shows progressed, it became less Knicks, more LeBron, like Paul Pierce said. Yeah, it's more LeBron. You know, they want to cater to the casual audience, and I get it. But, you know, he started respecting my overall NBA, you know, acumen and knowledge, and that was cool too. So yeah, it was just an incredible ride, man. Because like I said, I never expected it. I never even, you know, dreamed that could happen. But I give credit to them for, you know, embracing the independent content creator like us, man. Because I just feel like we can cover this team, we can talk about this team as good, as well, or better than anyone that's on mainstream media. And that's not a knock on what these people do, but I think, you know, the fan has become so sophisticated now as compared to years before, based on all the stats and all the knowledge and everything that's out there on the internet. We can do this ourselves. You know, we can do this ourselves. We may not have the backing of a mainstream media as yet. It's coming. We'll get there. But I think people embrace that, you know. So it was, I thought it was good for ESPN and those guys to recognize that, you know, that there's a budding ecosystem here of knowledgeable, passionate fans, and they're not just homers. We're not just gonna wave the pom poms, you know. If these guys stink, they stink, and we'll call them out for it. But people are embracing that authenticity more so than just the hot takes of sports media. You know, and everybody has their lane. There's a lane for the hot takes and the skips and Shannons and the first takes and stuff like that. There's a lane for the super analytical, you know, Lakers film room and Knicks film school and what those guys are doing. There's a lane for what we do. There's a lane for everybody. So, like I said, I think it was just it was cool for me to kind of represent, you know, our lane, so to speak, on the main stage. And for him to respect and embrace it, it was great, man.
No, absolutely. It was great. I mean, you honestly, like watching you, like your growth through like Knicks Fan TV and everything you do, like you have the radio like voice, like you talk about watching Mike and the Mad Dog. And I just like when I watch you, when I listen to you, like I hear the radio like voice. So that it was just like, you have the personality, you have all this stuff. So like you going on ESPN and being able to do that, I was like, that's the guy to represent us and take on Max Kellerman. I was like, that's the guy who I need out there representing us. So thank you for doing that. And hey, are we going to see with Stephen A. Smith? Because look, you talk about them bringing on fans now and content creators and Stephen A. Smith, you know, Max Kellerman's not part of First Take anymore. And Stephen A. comes out saying, hey, I'll take on anybody. You know, they had Michael Irvin out there who was, I don't know what he was on before he was, that man was
screaming,
ready to go.
Screaming at the top of his lungs on everything.
ready to go. He was ready to rip out Stephen A's head. Stephen A was like, yo, this guy, you relax. Relax.
Hey, he's a Miami guy. I'll just leave it at that. He's a Miami guy. You take what you want with that. I'll just put it out there. You know what I'm saying?
And he's a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah. In the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So
a lot of fun. But hey, you're talking about ESPN like giving the opportunities to us, you know, it's to the fans, to everybody to get on there. So who knows? Maybe we'll see you with Stephen A, man. Maybe we'll see you out there.
Never know, man.
Yeah. You've been preaching that you had to go, you have a bone to pick with him too. So
I had a hit list. I had my hit list. It was rapid.
Crossing them off one by one.
Stephen A's next, man. You know, I have my hit list for sure.
That is really cool though. Like especially the Kellerman stuff. So I think Alex put it perfectly. You were great to represent quote unquote us, right? Us, like, you know, I would say like, you know, Alex and I, and, you know, us who like, we're close and we're friends on a personal level, but also like as just Knicks fans, you know, as Knicks media, like you represented us and we were not worried for one second, like, oh no, like CP might do something dumb or might say something stupid or, might like go overboard or, might like, you might get frustrated because like, hey man, there was like, fun Knicks talks, but then you had like that, those technical difficulties where, I know it was a joke, Max Kellerman, it's his show, dude. And it's ESPN and he's going to, tear you down and he's going to make you look like a little boy. Right. And, that must've been super frustrating, from your side. So, how'd you handle that? Cause you have to be super professional, man. This is your first, this is your first time at ESPN. What are you going to say? No, dude, stop. How do you handle that?
Got to keep it professional, man. And you realize that they're trying to haze you and trying to, take shots and whatnot. There were people that took it way more personally than me. Trust to believe when I was going through the notifications, I was like, whoa, I can't retweet that. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get back on next week, but I hear you though. I hear you. So yeah, it was, you take it in stride, man. This is ESPN. This is a worldwide leader in sports. I've been doing this thing for 3 years and I'm on ESPN Radio. I'm on ESPN Plus and again, being able to share it on the channel. So you just take it in stride and take it in all good fun. And I've spoken to Max, offline about the whole situation. So we had a laugh about that. I just be myself. I'm not the rah-rah guy that's going to drop an F-bomb every few sentences. Particularly, again, there's a lane for that, and those people that lane, that's good for them. But I don't really enjoy that. I've taken pride in trying to make the show as open to all audiences. I want the father and son to listen to it, like how me and my dad will listen to sports radio on the car rides home and stuff like that. So I just try to be myself, and I'm not that outlandish rah-rah guy, and just let the chips fall where they may, bro.
I love that, dude. And you're paving the way for us and for Knicks Media. And I mean, dude, like I'm watching you at the Knicks games, right? Like I'm at the Knicks games and so are you, and you're working, during the game, but especially after the game, like you're you turn from CP to like to Knicks fan TV. As soon as the game's over, right? Like you have your hat on, tie, like it was mask season. So you had like, you were just like incognito, you had your camera going. Trying to find the action, right? I mean, I know what words, right? You're going to say it was amazing, it was unbelievable, game two, all that stuff. But like, how does it feel to just be that guy, right? At Madison Square Garden, that random people are just coming up to you like, yo, CP, what up? And you're like, oh, dude, what's up? Like, I don't know, oh, I called you yesterday. Like, what's good?
Yeah.
How does that feel? How do you navigate that? Like, what's that go? It's only been 3 years. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're 10 years in the game. You know what I'm saying?
It feels good, man. I can't lie, because you put a lot of work into it. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of grind, and a lot of, again, we did this through a 17 win season. It was a lot of losses, man. It was a lot of nights when I was like, bro, I don't even feel
tired.
Like I was telling you how there'd be Sundays where the Giants would take an L at 1 o'clock, Knicks would take an L at 7 o'clock, and you just like, yo, man, I'm done. I have no energy. But
it's a normal 10 years for me, dude. I'm a Jet.
you know very well.
That's every Sunday is like that.
Yeah. You know very well. But then again, then you meet those people at the games, and they talk about how much, the show means to them, how much it's getting them through. You get those DMs from the people that talk about, especially during the pandemic, man. I had several people say, I was depressed, I was going through this, I was going through that. So it means a lot, man. It's very rewarding, and you realize that what we do is, it's more than just talk Knicks. It's more than just talk Knicks, man. It's about building community. And people really coming together, especially in times like, I barely watch the news now because it's all negative and it's all, people trying to divide. But this platform is something that we can use to unite people. And this and in the internet age, we got people from Israel calling in, Japan, Jamaica, Barbados, Canada, all over the world. They're tuning in. So it's just incredible. But I got to give credit, because when I say, I told JLS this one a long time ago, and I was like, bro, you never know who's watching, so you just never know who's watching. So you always want to just make sure your presentation's always up to speed and just keep grinding.
100%.
And it was Chuck D. One day, perfect example. One day I woke up on Twitter And it's just Chuck D, like, yo, I just subscribed to Knicks Fan TV. Everybody do it. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, why?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
And then fast forward, dude. Now you guys are like boys. Like, I'm coming out of the garden. I'm like, yo, yeah. What up, CP? You know, saying what up to everyone. And like, oh, Chuck D. Oh, what up, bro? Like, yeah, then, yeah. Like, what's going on? And then, like,
yeah,
you know, like, and then Jolito's right there. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, what up? Like, I don't care who you are, whatever. We're just like, yo, game two was nuts, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so, you know, that was prime example of you never know who's watching, man. And he's been the biggest champion, the biggest supporter of the platform. It's how I got on the Kellerman show. It's how I got on Fat Joe's show. It's been Chuck. And he's done this for a lot of hip hop artists coming up in the game, whether it's, you know, Queen Latifah, Busta Rhymes, so on and so forth. You know, Chuck's impact, his you know, just him giving to the culture, man, outside of just being a iconic performer, a part of an iconic rap group, Chuck's contributions to the culture, it can't be understated. And so, you know, for him to take me under his wing and you know, push me out there, I owe a lot to him, to be quite honest. I owe a lot to him.
His new pod was awesome. Were you on that? I don't remember.
He was on that.
Yeah, let's say you had a clip on that, right? How was that? Was that just like a normal production, or were you like involved, you know, in that whole episode at least?
The one for The Athletic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, similar thing. They called me up and he was the voice of it. He narrated it. And then I got interviewed for a couple of the chapters. So again, he's just been pushing me out there, man. So I owe a lot to him.
That's awesome, dude. That's all. If you're listening right now, you have to check out that Athletic piece with Chuck G narrating. Man, like from beginning to end, it was perfect. It was literally perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great, man. Great job by those guys at The Athletic, for sure.
Absolutely. Shout out to Chuck D, because it's like, I don't know how to put it. It was like a good, such a soothing voice just to like listen about about the New York Knicks and the history of the New York Knicks. I'm like, oh, I'm learning a lot right here. Woo! Good times. Because like for me, you know, the Stephon Marbury era, I know for a lot of us was kind of like,
it's painful, man.
It was painful. I was in high school, man. That was probably the worst time for me being a Knicks fan, because I was so checked in and out, man. It was like in and I was like, how the Knicks do? Oh god, I can't do this right now. I'm like, I really cannot do this right now.
You got embarrassed.
You know why it was worse for me, Alex? Because I was so locked in. I was buying the Starberries and just getting made fun of and embarrassed everywhere. Like, oh, why would you wear those? $8. Your team stinks. They're worth $8. I'm like, I know, man. I know. We got Marty Collins. I know, but it's okay. Othella Harrington is my starting power forward.
Yeah, man.
It's all good, bro. Taylor. It's all good.
Malik Rose, you know.
Oh man.
Oh. Abysmal, man. Abysmal times, bro.
But now we're in better times. We're in better times, and you know, shout out to Chuck D. Like I said, that's a great episode. No one's listened to Shattered yet. Please go check it out. It's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah. The thing about Shattered was timing was just a bit off, man.
Because, I know.
You know, you had the hysteria of us on this playoff run, and then Shattered was just about, you know, the terrible
last 20 years.
So it was hard to go back. But yeah, I would definitely recommend people check it out, man, because it's a good piece.
I love history, and you need to know the history. Like, if you're a Knicks fan, and you didn't live it for, if you're an upcoming Knicks fan, if you're young and you don't know what's happening, you need to know the history. You have to understand why this season was like so spectacular. You know, 2012, 2013 with Mel was another awesome season. 52 wins, winning the Atlantic, you know, making it out of just the first round for the first time in, got what, like 10 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like 10, 12 years. Like that was a miraculous moment. It was fun, but there was nothing, it wasn't like this where it was just so unexpected, so magical. For a guy who was hated in New York to just turn it around and lead this team to a 4 seed. With a new head coach, even though he's not unreal in the NBA, it's just unreal story. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a perfect time. Right now is really the perfect time. I agree to listen to it. And just the last thing, because we're talking about Chuck D, we're talking about Knicks Fan TV. I'm gonna make my official request, CP. Mm-hmm. I also check out CP's interviews with, you know, former Knicks players, and like your Ron Harper. Your Derek Harper interview was one of my favorite interviews. I tell you that every time I see you, it's literally my favorite interview.
Yeah, what am I too, man?
It's literally my favorite. But yo, I know Chuck D is close, and I know this guy I'm about to say is always at Knicks games. I need you to get Q-Tip on the pod, man. He's one of my favorite artists ever. I know he's coming around. I know he's smelling around. I need the Q-Tip interview. That is, he's literally like my, I mean, Tribe, regular Q-Tip. Like that is my, that's my jam right there. So
Stay tuned, man.
Let's go.
I like it. Yeah. Stay tuned. That's how you know you got to get hyped.
Let's go.
All right. So let's end on this. Let's end on some general NBA stuff, because as I said at the beginning of the pod, we had a couple reports from Shams today. Let's start off with the easy one. Let's start off with Aaron Gordon signing a 4-year, $92 million contract extension.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that just says you can't get players out in Denver. That's how I read it.
Once you trade for somebody, you're stuck. Jamal Adams, you know, you spent too much. You got Leonard Williams. You know what I mean? You spend too much. You got to pay him. That's it.
True. But I'm going to throw it up for both of you guys. CP, mm-hmm. I'll start off with you. Is Aaron Gordon the missing piece for this team to be a championship roster?
No, I think they're stuck. I think they're going to be stuck in no man's land, especially playing in the West. Even if Jamal Murray comes back, I don't see them. They're not going to be better than the Lakers. I don't see them better than the Clippers, the Jazz, or the Suns. So right now I got Denver hovering around fifth. We'll see where the Mavs end up, you know, another year with Luka Doncic. I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. I put the healthy Laker team in the top three. Utah, I think, is a better team top to bottom, offensively and deep. One thing about the Denver's defensively, I just don't see them playing championship caliber defense with the guys they have on their roster. Gordon is a nice, versatile defender. I think they need more. I think they need more. I don't think MPJ is going to end up being a great defender. Offensively, he's taking another leap. See what happens when Murray comes back, add in Gordon. But I just don't see them, you know, on both sides of the ball. I don't think they'll be a championship caliber team.
I agree with that. I mean, this past season, they were letting other teams just run up the score. So I agree with that 100%. What about you, John? Do you think that Gordon's the missing piece?
I almost feel like that's a rhetorical question. Like, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it's obviously not the missing piece. but I agree with you guys. You guys have them. Denver's one of my favorite teams to watch. I know you're writing for them a little bit, Alex. Like, you were watching their games pretty closely. They're fun to watch. You know, Will Barton, they miss him. They're going to be nicer when he comes back. But are they going to be top four in the West? No. Are they going to have a fun playoff series, though? Hell yeah.
I think that's what don't count them out. I think they're going to be pretty fun. I think people are going to be sleeping. And once the playoffs come, I think Denver's going to start shocking some people again. But yeah. I don't think they're a championship team. But I think they're going to catch some teams sleeping. True. As they normally do.
Yeah, it's just defensively, man. Defensively is where I need to see them take the next jump and really show that they can stop people. If MPJ is on a superstar track, I think it'll push them a little bit closer. But I don't, you know, the Aaron Gordon stuff doesn't move me at all. I think it was an overpay, but it was a cost of doing business. It was a necessary evil for them. You know, you may see him get packaged up and traded eventually to keep the Joker happy. Maybe him and Murray get traded for somebody, you know, who knows. But again, he gives him a versatile defender, a decent wing offensively. He just hasn't really been that guy since he came into the league. But, you know, the contract, the contract's around like the 45th highest paid in the league. For Aaron Gordon, you know, a guy that averaged 10 points for you.
He can go off. He can go off if Joker stretches it. It's just like the Joker plateau. Like, at what point does the Joker plateau? Like, is he going to start getting 30-30-30? Like, you know what I'm saying? At some point, he's going to start regressing, right? Like,
he's losing weight.
He's losing weight too, man.
He's about to be in the best shape of his life. I want to see what happens, man.
Yeah, okay. Joker's losing weight, man. But I was happy to see him win the MVP because I thought it was well deserved for him.
For sure. He's a point center. You don't even see a point center in the league. That's just wild. Mm-hmm. Dude was literally holding it down for that team during the playoffs. So I'm happy to see him win it. I think Denver will be a fun team as always. I think they'll shock some people. Mm-hmm. I think if they could make See, the thing with me with Utah is I feel like Utah always comes short. So I'm not really, they're a good regular season team. I think it's always the playoffs with them. And like, I like Quinn Snyder as a head coach too. I just think when it gets to the playoffs, something just starts to like not mesh. Something just starts to fall apart. And I think that's where a team like Denver can come in and say, all right, we got our guys, especially if they got Jamal Murray back.
Yeah.
I think Jamal Murray was getting back on his bubble swag. Before his injury, the season was starting to get, three quarters of the way through the season, that's where he started to get back into it. But other news.
I forgot the fact that Kawhi Leonard's probably not going to play.
Is that all year? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think the Clippers are whack.
Yeah, I got to put the Clippers down. I got to put the Clippers down, man. So
you don't trust Paul George?
Not by himself. Even though I liked how he played and silenced the critics over the playoffs, he was strong. But I just felt like the Clippers were riding a momentum. You know, I just felt like they were riding the energy. I don't think they can sustain that over 82-game season without Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Him missing what? Porsche tore his ACL. Yeah. He's not going to be coming back anytime soon.
I don't see it.
And Talk about teams being stuck, bro.
He got paid too. He owns the Clippers, bro.
Mm-hmm. He owns them. He's like, I'm not gonna play, and you're gonna pay me, and you're not gonna call me. what's happening over there? It's ridiculous, yo.
Oh my god, that is just what talk about the course of doing business. That's the course of doing business. you bring in Kawhi Leonard, you're like, I can't let this guy go.
It's wild.
But in other news, we also got John Wall and the Rockets, who they had discussions today to mutually part ways. The five-time All-Star is now looking for a new home. However, there's not going to be a buyout of that $92 million contract, which includes a $47.4 million 2022-2023 player option. Nice. So who is taking this contract? I laugh, but... We see Russell Westbrook get moved. I feel like there's an opportunity for this man to get moved. CP, I'll start with you. What are you thinking?
Oh man, I mean, right now I got to go with John in terms of the Sixers, man.
It has to. There's no other two spots for these two weirdos.
Yeah,
I'm saying?
How many teams are clamoring for a guy that hasn't played an 82 game season since 2016? You know, making a boatload of money, can't shoot, you know, hasn't been able to shoot his whole career. And again, you're going to have to put some draft picks on top of that. So I don't see it, man.
I don't see
a team out there that's going to be clamoring for this guy.
Remove hasn't played since 2016. And if you just said hasn't played like a full season, you're talking about both players who can't shoot.
Yeah.
Do the same.
For a second, I was like, who's he talking about?
At least with Simmons, you know, he's first team all defense, right? Yes. Right. You know, there's one thing where he's elite at right now. Right now with John Wall, I mean, what are you really beating down his door for to bring to your team that you say you need? You can't even stay on the court.
Yeah, and the problem with players like John Wall is his number one asset was his speed.
Yeah.
So if he loses a step, that's it. You know what I mean? Like Allen Iverson on Memphis, right? Like, he was fun, but like, he's just slower. So like, he wasn't even Denver AI anymore. He was just, you know, it's fun to watch. You can have some plays, but you're going to pay that guy almost 50 mil?
No.
Oh my goodness, dude. Oh my goodness.
No chance. Not unless you're tacking on, you know, a couple unprotected firsts on there. You have to.
And Houston has them, dude. Houston has a million picks.
You know. I think Philly would be the most intriguing. You know, I don't see any of the contenders clamoring for him. And what rebuilding team who's in the same position as Houston would want him, again, unless you're giving them a mega incentive to take him on. I just don't see the fit outside of Philly, where it's just right now Ben Simmons is holding him up at gunpoint.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you, and I think at this point, if you're Daryl Morey, you lost your chance. You should have went for James Harden. You should have threw Tyrese Maxey in to get James Harden last season. You failed on that. Just go back to the well. Just ask these guys, say, hey, Ben Simmons, we got to move him, because if Ben's not going to start training camp, you're already behind the eight ball. What are you doing at that point? If you don't have Ben Simmons out there, I don't even Philly's not even a top five team. They're, then we can switch with them and say Embiid. Sure, forget respect. Like Embiid's not going to play a full season. Never has. Won't happen anytime soon. At that point, it puts Philly in like a, it could put them in a spiral to be a play-in team after being in a top four.
Ooh, talking about hot takes. Good. Guys, you have Philly in the play-in.
Good.
Hey, you never know, man. Never know.
Good. You can quip. You can quip that, and you can quip my depot. My depot take. All right?
I'm gonna send that over to Claudia.
Oh man. Man. All right, last thing, and then we can get out of here. Do you think players are done with this testing free agency? And I say this because as Knicks fans, people were saying, what's wait for the 2022 free agency class? And I look at the 22 free agency class, you know, with Steph, you had Kawhi, you had all these names, and everyone signed up. Everyone took contract extensions. Is that just going to be the new way of the NBA? Are players just going to ask for trades, get their guaranteed money, and ask for a trade if they don't like it? Because as of right now, that's kind of what it looks like. Kevin Durant also signed up too. That's what I'm expecting. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think, you know, when you're looking at their up to 35% more in an extra year guaranteed money on a Supermax deal.
Exactly.
These players are going to take that bag.
Exactly,
you know
I mean? Yo.
Especially some of the ones that, you know, Steph has won already. His bread is buttered a long time ago. He's mm-hmm. good. So, you know, he's getting another $40 million bag. That's excellent for him. You see Embiid read up already. We'll see what happens with Bradley Beal and LaVine. But I think overall, some players may just say, you know, forget the whole dog and pony show and you know, the whole, some players I think in previous years had liked to be courted and have their name out there, but others, I just think with that up to 35% out there, man, just they're just going to take the bag and then figure out the rest later, because you can ultimately get dealt while you're in the middle of that deal as contracts continue to go up.
For sure. I mean, look, even Jimmy Butler took a contract extension as well. So that's where it's like, I don't know. What do you got? If we agree that the league is just moving in a direction where everyone's just taking the contract extension, what are trades going to look like then? How many first are we dealing? How is roster construction going to take a hit at this point? So, John, what do you think's on roster construction?
Well, this is the whole thing, man. These are the unintended consequences of the collective bargaining agreement, right? So they were sitting down to negotiate, and the owners were extremely pissed off about how LeBron and company changed free agency. Like in the span of like 3 years, all of a sudden free agency just became a circus where like all of a sudden everyone's going to be a free agent. Teams are going to just start stripping their salary so they can wait for these players mm-hmm. to all join up and hopefully be them. And so the owners were like, whoa, we need to, and then like, you know, LeBron and Rich Paul, and we know how that is, yeah. Right? So the NBA was trying to get a stronghold on that. And so they said, how do we keep players, you know, in small markets, let's add that incentive that CB was talking about. And you know what's funny? I'm talking with my brother, right? Who's a huge Knicks fan. He's been interacting with CP and, you know, all the Knicks media for years and years. He's the one that got me on to the Knicks. We were talking about before Kemba came, you know, we're just talking about Luka, just casually, right? You know, he likes the Knicks. We need a point guard. He hates Dallas. You know, what's going on? You know, he's wearing Melo shirts, you know, what's going on with Luka? Should we wait for him? The first thought out of our head simultaneously was, if this guy doesn't take the extension, I don't want this player because he's actually an idiot. Like this guy is actually an idiot. Yeah. So like if he doesn't take that deal, says no, I'm not gonna take that. I want to go to the Knicks instead. Dude, you're a moron. I actually don't want you. I don't trust you. Like I really don't trust your judgment. So the unintended consequence is, one, the players will take that deal and they will stay, but they're gonna stronghold you and they're going to force their way to do the trade, like Alex said. And the other unintended consequence that is starting to peek its ugly head, but it's going to start becoming more apparent, is draft picks are just becoming so worthless. Like, oh, you want 7 first round picks so I can get KD, otherwise I'm never going to be able to get, you know, another star player again. Okay, you know, take them, you know, enjoy, you know, like, and I'll protect them. And who cares if you have my first pick, if I have, you know, these guys that you're giving me. And that used to be like the NBA 2K way to go about it. But because of the, you know, these consequences where you just eliminated free agency for premier players. Now free agency is really middle tier. It's really like the NFL. It's like the NFL. Like, you never see like a real player going, you know, to the NFL free agency. They lock them up. And once they're basically done with them, they're like, all right, go ahead, man. Test the market. See what's up. So I think that's really what it's going to be for the NBA, you know, going like 10 years from now. I really think free agency is not going to be a real thing. You're not going to be like, yo, I can't wait for free agency next year. I don't think that's going to be a real thing.
Okay. CP, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the history, right, you go back like 10 years. I mean, outside of LeBron, KD, and maybe Kawhi Leonard, I mean, there really haven't been those, like, you know, tidal wave free agency signings for year after year. You know what I mean? A lot of guys just stay with their team and then end up getting dealt.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Butler was a sign and trade to the Heat from the Timberwolves. You know, Clay stayed with the Warriors. I'm just trying to think of like these top all-star guys. You know, a lot of the top tier guys really don't just jump ship after free agency.
Donovan Mitchell, he doesn't want to stay in Utah, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, Luka signed his deal because you can get your bag, get your security, as they should. It's a players league, you know, and I always advocate for these guys to do what's best for them because, you know, once they get a catastrophic knee injury, they're out of here. You know, football is worse, but, you know, basketball is a similar situation. So I just think that the path, as John was saying, is going to be trade. It's going to be trade. So I think that's why the Knicks did what they did in terms of running it back. They maxed out the cap with team-friendly deals, you know, 2+1s with Fournier's a 3+1, and all the plus ones are full team options. So there's no partial guarantees there.
Yep.
So now you have tradable contracts. You're building your team for stability, for continuity, and to compete at the same time. And I think that's a way to go. And yet they still have, you know, their draft capital and maybe some young pieces that they can develop and you know, parsing off for a trade here and there.
For sure. I agree with both your analysis on the state of the NBA, like how things are moving. And actually, that's where I kind of think, and I don't know every team's contract situation, but I think this is where the Knicks are slightly ahead of the game in getting those team option contracts and really being on that team option contracts, right? Where they look like, hey, we're going to make a trade at some point.
Yeah.
What's more enticing than a guy with 2 years on, 2 years on his contract, but really 1 year, and the other one's an option for that team to pick it up. I think they're getting ready for the new wave of contracts and how teams are being built. So I like where this is where it comes to think like, wow, we actually have a competent front office that's forward thinking, which is just shocking. Gives me goosebumps all the time. But guys, I love this conversation. It was a great conversation. I think this is a good place to end it. We've been doing this for about, well, it looks like an hour 15 at this point. It's getting a little late. I know we got work in the morning. So CP, please let our listeners know, although they should already know where to find you, please let them know where to find you and if any projects you got up for them to stay tuned for.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know, it's youtube.com/KnicksFanTV. We also got KnicksFanTV.com that you're writing for, leading the charge on KnicksFanTV.com. So we're growing them out there as well. Also on all major podcast platforms on the KnicksFanTV. So definitely appreciate you guys, man. Anytime.
Thumbs up for your boy.
Hit that thumbs up for your boy for sure.
Boys all day, bro.
CP, thank you for coming on. Always appreciate it. Always enjoy chopping it up with you.
Yep.
And for our listeners out there, you know what you got to do. We're on YouTube now, so you got to hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit that notification bell, because you got to get all these new episodes when they drop. On top of that, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please make sure to give us a 5-star review and to leave a comment. It's the right thing to do. And if you don't listen to us on Apple Podcasts, it's okay. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, Alexa, Stitcher, you name it, we're already there. Last and certainly not least, please make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And last but certainly not least, we have a Madden 2022 giveaway. All right. The MVP edition can be played on either platform. All right. Back and forth, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. We got both copies. Please make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on one of our social media platforms. Take screenshots of both. Email us at knicksjetsetc@gmail.com. Tell us which platform you have so that way we can give you the copy and you'll be entered in for that giveaway. All right. But we'll catch you later, everyone. Stay tuned this week for another Jets episode of the Knicks, Jets, Etc. podcast.
Let's go, Knicks.